Hey, welcome back to an episode of Jerry's Media Boyline.
It'd be Joe.
And so we're talking about the most recent Xbox developer
Direct?
Showcase. Direct,
yeah.
It's only going to talk about five games. We're really mostly going to be talking about one or two of the games that have been announced for that. And essentially talking about this thing that Xbox has been doing that we kind of want to touch upon. And don't worry, we will also talk about PlayStation when the time comes when their little showcase shows up. We are equally opportunity with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
at least we try to.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, I don't know. When was the last time we've done a talk about a Nintendo Direct, right?
I don't remember.
And granted, that's not to say the Nintendo Directs don't interest us. I think it's more of like, whenever they do show up, they're very inconvenient for us.
Yeah, they just happen to be on the day like, oh, damn, we're very at this late for us.
It's like, I'm on my way to work. I'm trying to pay attention to this Direct, but also keep my eyes on the road so I don't crash into anything.
Yeah, no, let's not do any of that. so we're talking about essentially some of the games they talked about. They talked about Avowed, which just looks like it's going to be a very fun Skyrim-esque game from the guys that helped make a lot of the old, Fallout games.
Obsidian, right?
Obsidian, yes, right.
Yeah, so, they came off of Outer Worlds, which is like, a very Fallout New Vegas-esque game. You know, that was kind of like, their take on like a Fallout in space, right?
Mm.
To see them, then they have their own take on like, the Elder Scrolls series kind of thing.
Yeah.
That seemed kind of neat.
They did announce an RTS kind of game. I forget the name of it, but it was one of the ones that I was like, oh, well, I just got tuned off at that point. Apologies to those who really enjoy that game. I just don't remember the name of it. And then they showed off a new Mana game, which we already knew about the Mana game.
Yeah, the Visions of Mana.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to be honest, I didn't actually think was coming to Xbox. Like, I think I remember it showed up during a Sony Direct or whatever.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But I mean, to be fair, I think really the only thing Square Enix kind of keeps exclusive on PlayStation is just like, obviously, I think some games. Like, I think Final Fantasy VII Remake has been sort of more or less kept on console wise PlayStation, but you have the PC ports out there as well. And obviously Final Fantasy XVI.
That's the PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah, that's the PlayStation exclusive game.
The game was called Aura History Untold.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, it's pretty exciting because a lot of people like the Mana series. So,
It's one of those games that I say it's the third, most well-known, JRPG game of the old days.
The old JRPG series. You have Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, and,
Mana.
Yeah.
Which is, Mana was always kind of like a spinoff of, that kind of became its own thing, of Final Fantasy, in the same way that Shin Megami Tensei was the original game and then kind of spun off into, Persona.
Yeah, Persona was the spinoff and then it kind of became bigger than the original series.
Yeah! I guess there's also a third game, I think, called Devil Divider, and I think, I'm probably thinking of the band. Something like that. That's basically the games. But also the one that everyone was talking about recently is the new Indiana Jones game that they've announced that's coming out this year.
Because I think they announced it a while back, I want to say, and this was our first time actually seeing not only in-game footage but also gameplay of it. And it's definitely interesting because, gosh, the last Indiana Jones, I can't really think of another Indiana Jones game besides the Lego Indiana Jones game.
Yeah.
Lego games are their own thing, right? This is by Machine Games, I believe they did Wolfenstein, right? The new Wolfenstein series that they've done at Bethesda. It's definitely interesting to see how they've sort of built it up. I know some people were kind of like weirded out that it doesn't feel like Uncharted and stuff or like Tomb Raider-esque, because it's like when you think of those two games, they're like, oh, this is like how you would imagine maybe an Indiana Jones game working in sort of the modern day, right? But I don't know. I think it has its own unique flair to it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like in those games, I think the early Tomb Raider games get a little fantastical.
Yeah, they do.
The newer remake version doesn't go that
far.
No.
The newer remakes kind of keep it more down to earth. A lot of people, you hit on the nail on the head with a lot of that, because it was compared to a lot of people were like, why make an Indiana Jones game? You already have the Indiana Jones game at home. It's called Uncharted.
Right.
But it's like, it is supposed to be a little different, you know? And keeping it that first person perspective is kind of like cool. It's a little jarring because you know it's them trying to make it not Uncharted.
Right. I mean, they also have, Indy's whip.
Yeah.
And, like, it's definitely an interesting mechanic, obviously, for movement traversal and stuff like that. I mean, it also looks kind of funny from that first-person angle when you're just whipping people.
Yeah, because you can say, yeah.
You know, like, there's some interesting physics with the whip that I kind of find a little funny, but, I kind of like it.
No, I liked it, too. I think the thing that got me most interested was the puzzles. That's when you'll see him be more like a third-person perspective, is when you start doing the puzzles. Because what is Indiana Jones without some puzzles?
Well, I mean, what's any sort of, archaeologist, right? Like those types of stories. There's always some sort of puzzle to the ancient temple you got to figure out to get the magic MacGuffin at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do kind of, I am a bit wondering as to where exactly... because it does seem like, I don't think it's going to be like a retelling of the Indiana Jones story.
No. They specifically stated that it's between, I think, Temple of Doom and Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I know it's between one of the other movies, not the one with aliens and not the one that just came out.
Well, obviously, it's a young Indiana Jones, you know, it's like he's not.
Which, apparently it's Troy Baker doing the voice.
I can hear it. He does a pretty good job of, sort of mimicking, Harrison Ford's voice, makes sense for a voice actor of his caliber. He definitely is putting in the effort to give at least a somewhat authentic, Harrison Ford voice. Right.
Yeah. So it's pretty good.
Yeah,
like I'm like, for a second there, all of us were like, wait, did they actually get Harrison Ford for this? Like, no.
Well, I mean, I don't think so, because I feel like you could tell if it was like Harrison Ford doing the voice, because
I'm more like tired.
Yeah, he's old and stuff, so I would imagine you would hear that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I think the voice work sounds pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested in how the story turns out.
Oh, we forgot about Hellblade. It's just in a saga too. Hellblade 2.
Oh, I thought you were saving that.
Oh, I did. Was I? No. That's the next game they also talked about. But the one that everyone was talking about was
I think partially because Hellblade has been a known quantity for a while. It's more of, I think, the big thing about Assassin's Creed Hellblade 2 was the release date. We have official release date for May 21 of this year.
Yeah, and it's the one game that everyone's telling is like was built for the Series X.
Yeah, like, it feels like it's going to be, like, as you would imagine, Xbox is going to start pushing hard in its advertising and stuff like that. Like, hey, so this is the killer app, if you will, right, so far.
It looks fantastic.
I mean, yeah, like, it is just visually stunning.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is pretty cool. But I think for most people, just the inherent idea of the of an Indiana Jones game and actually seeing it in the flesh, if you will.
That will overtake a lot of it.
Yeah, because again, it's like, we know mostly about Assassin's Creed Hellblade 2, right?
Yeah.
It's just that, alright, like, we're kind of just waiting for a release date at this point, because, we've seen what it can do. We just wanted to, know when it comes out.
Yeah.
And with the Indiana Jones game, you're just sort of wondering, like, okay, what direction are you going to be going in terms of gameplay, and how's it going to look, all this stuff, right? What's the story? There's just a lot of questions, and now those questions have been answered, obviously. at least for a little, you know. And that's kind of, I think, one of the interesting things with the Indiana Jones game for me is going to be this story. Like,
oh, it's hella cinematic. I think this is probably the best looking game that Xbox is coming out with right now that isn't just, like, first party.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, Machine Gun game is technically first party, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, you know, Bethesda owns them, and then obviously Xbox owns Bethesda, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I like the fact that they are, like, harkening back to that old feel. They even talked about finding a musician who can almost mimic John Williams, and I'm just like, that's a good way to say it, because this John Williams score is probably one of the best things to come out from the movies, too.
I'm actually a bit surprised by that statement, only because I feel like,
granted, this could be the period where John Williams was like, I'm not doing music anymore, guys. And then he's like, I'm back, baby.
I mean, I was going to say that. I'm like, is he done doing music for stuff? Like, has he retired? I have no idea. I legit.
There was a moment where he was, but then I think he's like, I can't come back. I don't feel like doing it. And then he's like, wait, guys, there's a movie I want to do. Let me make the music for that.
I mean, I feel like if there's another Star Wars movie that comes out, you know, he'll be like, all right, time to ride the saddle again. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just seems a little, I mean, I guess to be fair, as a composer, right, I feel like you can just unretire whenever you want because all you're doing is just composing the music and stuff, right?
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm not, you know, saying that it's an easy job to do.
No.
Right?
No,
but
no.
It's like, you know, it feels like one of those things like, oh, you know what? I think I have some interesting ideas, you know? Like,
yeah, this is the moment where he's asleep and this is in his, you know, in his tomb and he's like, I'm inspired again. Kicks the door down to Disney or Warner Brothers or whatever. He's like, I got a song for you.
Are you implying that John Williams would come back as a zombie?
No, he is an immortal god.
So you're implying that he just sleeps in like some random crypt and is only called upon whenever to compose Star Wars?
Yes,
movies?
He's King Arthur.
All right, sure, I guess.
He arises when he is called upon to do fantastic work. Only a few have reached that limit.
Sure. I mean, I guess that makes some sense. I don't know. But yeah, you know, from obviously the music, I think, and that was the thing, too, because I'm like, is it not John Williams? Because, I mean, the music does, I mean, sound pretty John Williams to me, so
yeah.
I guess whoever they got to do the music for the game is doing a pretty good job of getting those, I guess, old
cues
from the Indiana Jones movies and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I'm kind of wondering, I mean, I don't think the game will be, obviously, I don't think the game is open world or anything like that. Like,
No.
I'm just kind of wondering how linear it gets, right? I mean, it's obviously going to be a very story-driven game, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get any weird, like, multiplayer, like, section or whatever, right? So I'm just kind of, I get sort of curious to see, like, how long the game is and stuff.
That's my main question with that. Like, with Hellblade, you know, I feel like it's going to be, you know, moderately 4 hours, right? With Indiana Jones, they're making it seem like it's a globe-trotting adventure, right? He's going around the world, so how long is the game going to take? You know, you have characters coming in with their own, you know, uniqueness and interesting stories to tell. How long is it going to take, you know? Because if it's, like, less than, like, I'm saying good for less than 4 hours. I'd be like, not worth my time.
I mean, I'm trying to think on my head what games have like stories that are like less than 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I would make a joke, I guess, about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, but I haven't looked into how long the campaign mode for that game was. I know, all I know is that the obvious joke is that it's super short, like shorter than you expect or whatever, or something like that.
And Soap dies at the end.
Spoilers, I guess, if you didn't know that.
He dies in the first iteration of Modern Warfare 3.
I guess you're not wrong, but listen, there's probably someone who didn't know. You don't know.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see, and that does bring up an interesting question of they do a whole thing like, oh, all these historical sites are all like linked together in like this big giant circle, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, what weird thing are we doing now this time, Indy?
Yeah, I like to see what sort of environments I guess we get, right? Like obviously, I think seems like we're gonna be doing some ancient Egypt stuff, maybe some.
Egypt, Tibet, and I think there's another one in there.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be kind of neat to see all those sort of environments and stuff and just sort of how, you know, the design levels and stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a very interesting sort of process.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's most... Well, they've only announced, like, 5 games, right? About more Legend of Mana stuff. I think it was called Ark. I'm sorry. I had it just here a minute ago.
The strategy game, right?
Yeah. The Aura, Hellblade, and, you know, Indiana Jones. So, that's about most of the games that they talked about, because it's supposed to be, like, a really nice, short, and sweet, and simple conversation with the developers, which is this new thing that Xbox has been doing. I think they've only done it, like, maybe this is the third or fourth time they've done it?
Yeah, I think they did one similar.
Because the last one they did was early in the year, and that was when they gave us a surprise hit of Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah, and I believe that was last. Literally, it was last.
It was last January. Hi-Fi Rush came out of nowhere, kind of blew everyone's mind because it was a secret reveal. It's like, oh yeah, the guys from Evil Within made a sort of a DMC-like fighting game with a rhythm to it called High Five Rush, and it's out, guys. Go to the store right now.
Yeah, it was a shadow drop.
Yeah.
You know, day one like drop of like, oh yeah, we announced this game. By the way, it's out now. Go play it. You know.
Yeah. And everyone loved it.
Yeah, it was a very you could argue it was a sleeper hit of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of a game that you didn't... I think part of it was, too, was, like, what got it a lot of attention was, I think, Forspoken had come out, or was coming out around the same time. And people really did not like Forspoken for various reasons. So it's kind of like, look at what Xbox did here with a game that barely got any promotion, and, like, it's doing numbers and stuff, and look at Sony's big new exclusive here, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, that tired old, you know, story of like, oh, Xbox, whatever, who cares? Game good, that's all that matters.
Right.
And so, I don't disagree with this sort of format. I think what it is, though, don't be expecting too much reveals.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is a thing that has been happening with a lot of various, video game companies and developers and stuff. I mean, Ubisoft has its, I think they call it Ubisoft Connect or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, there's a lot of, different developers and stuff that do their, like, their own, like, little live streaming events of, like, hey, this is what we got coming up, this is what new content for this game, you know, like, I'm guessing part of it is just because of what Nintendo has done, because really all of these things sort of stem back to the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, because there was a point, Nintendo was the first, it all goes back to E3, right? E3, you always had a showcase with the three big guys, Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo. One year, Nintendo's like, we're not doing that.
Well, it's an interesting thing about that, right? It's like, Nintendo doesn't have a showcase at E3, but they just have a Nintendo Direct, which is like a live streamed showcase from, you know, that you can watch on the internet, you know, and they would still have presence on the show floor, but they wouldn't have their big conference there at E3, right? Like,
yeah,
it would just show something like a day or two before, or, you know, E3, and then have their own showcase, you know, like their, like all the games they had there. That was sort of like kind of what they did.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you had Ubisoft and Bethesda, I think, did it when it came to Fallout 4, when they did a whole showcase that was just Fallout 4. Like, that was
I remember that.
Yeah, and then afterwards they would do more stuff about, like, hey, this is the other stuff we were doing, right? EA had a big conference always at E3. You know, it's like all these other gaming companies were just doing this sort of thing of, like, at E3, right? Like, E3 was your big event. I mean, you would have, the Game Awards would also be, like, a big spot of, as well, of announcing things, but mainly it was sort of at E3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, Nintendo has their Nintendo Directs that they would plan, like, every couple months.
Yeah.
E3 was definitely, like, one of those times, and then, like, a couple months later, or, like, whatever, you have other Nintendo Directs, and for Nintendo, it was, like, a nice way of, like, hyping things up, getting information out there at their pace, right? Like, they didn't feel like they were forced to go to a certain big event like E3 or Gamescom and, like, have their showcases there, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, partially, and then I think, what was it, around 2018, 2019?
I think it was going to be 2018, I bet.
PlayStation starts to kind of do that.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, we're not going to E3 anymore. We're not going to have our presence there. We're just going to have, like, a live stream event or whatever a couple of days beforehand. So it's all just Xbox, EA, Bethesda, Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
Devolver Digital. I was thinking about what other company would have showcases at E3, and it's Devolver Digital, and theirs were always kind of fun because it was just sort of like a parody of E3 presentations.
Yeah, they were.
But, like, there was various moments where, like, oh, Jesus. You know? But, yeah, you know, that stuff happened, and obviously, you know, the whole COVID thing happened in 2020, which closed down E3.
Yeah.
Which, I think that was sort of the moment where a lot of companies had to do that that Nintendo Direct-esque live stream, here's what we got coming stuff. And then, I think it's just, you know, part of it, and I think the big reason is two reasons, right? One, it allows the companies to have a better way of controlling their narrative, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like, hey, you know, this is how we want to release information this way. We don't feel like having to save up all of our big guns at E3 and then just, you know, having to, like, spread out other things, right? And the other one is probably just because it costs probably less money.
It does. I could see that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I miss seeing, like, the crowds and all that shit. You know, being, like, watching and seeing and getting hyped. But at the same time, I can totally understand why they want to stop that. And also, you can just do it at your home, man. Don't leave the comfort of your house and shit. But, yeah, no, it really started with that, you know. And that's how we ended up having, like, developer, you know, direct kind of thing, right?
Yeah, you know.
Because, like, it goes back to what people have been saying about Xbox. They don't really care about the console war thing, just thank God. Because the more you get into that, the more it's kind of asinine it gets. But, like, they wanted to focus more on, like, the developers, what they had to say, what's their thoughts on making the game, which is something that, you know, you kind of, like would like to see. But oftentimes it's a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of gameplay or promotion. It's more like, hey, this is what we're making, this is how we're doing it, and this is like a cool insight of us making the game, which is cool. Really cool. They talked about how they use sound for Hellblade, and, like, how they kind of, like, there's a scene where, like, to mimic the idea of voices hearing in the head, they have the microphone in the middle, and then the two ladies going around, like, talking shit or whatever, you know?
Right.
So I think that's kind of, like, a really cool insight into what the game is made. I'm not saying that this developer direct is bad. I like it. It's just very much indicative of, like, what Xbox is doing now, right? Focusing on games and trying to focus on games that could appeal to anyone, right? They're not focused solely on one specific genre of games. They're showing off all these games that, for people who probably never seen these games or wouldn't be interested in, hey, try this game out. It looks pretty cool. It's on Game Pass.
Yeah, like, I think, like, I think a lot of these, you know, developer sort of, showcases of, like, the games and stuff, try it as much as they can to differentiate themselves in the, from the Nintendo Direct, right? Because, like, Nintendo did it first, and it's kind of the standard of just, hey, you know, announce some games here and there, maybe talk to a developer here or two if you want to. So, yeah, it definitely seems like Xbox definitely puts in a bit more of, like, the developer process to it. I don't recall, like, Nintendo would more, like, just talk about how they got the idea of a certain concepts or whatever. I think, like, for, I think I remember this one for Yoshi's Woolly World, where they're, like...
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, I really, you know, we all really like just making little arts and crafts stuff with these little things. We thought, hey, why don't we just make a Yoshi game where it's, like, this sort of style or whatever? And it's like, why not? And I think when it comes to PlayStation and how they do their State of Play is what they call it, which...
Yeah.
It's always kind of funny to, like, see how all these companies try their best to not call themselves a Direct.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because, again, Nintendo Direct, very simple... Short to the point, title, people get it, right?
Yeah.
So, Sony and PlayStation has to be like, it's the State of Play. Yeah, that works. Because, you know, like a state of address, like the president would have, but it's the State of Play.
I always find that one funny because the way it plays off, it's like one of those, like, it's the pre-preview for the movies. Like, you know, you get to...
Oh, yeah, like
one
of the...
You get to screening early, you know, because you want to make sure you get to your seat. Hold your seat while your friend goes to get the popcorn, and there's, like, the infomercials of, like, who did this actress play in this movie?
Yeah, like, those sort of, like, info ads and stuff of, like, oh, you know, here's what's new at the movies and stuff, and blah, blah, blah.
I swear it's the same lady.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And obviously, I mean, Xbox has called itself,
not including this one, the developer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it called itself, I think it's just called the Xbox Showcase.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, it's definitely a simple title, right? Yeah. I think I said it earlier, Ubisoft, I think, is Ubisoft Connects. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen anything out of Ubisoft that isn't dumb. Like, oh, you know, gamers should be comfortable not owning games. Not going to get into that. Very dumb statement. Does not make any sense. I mean, EA Plays is it's kind of funny to me. Just that makes sense for a title, EA Play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their they talk about their EA games, even though I'm pretty sure most people just only remember EA stuff for just being sports games and games made by that weird foreign guy. Yeah, who says the F word a lot. The games.
I remember that.
yeah, that guy. I know that guy.
Mm-hmm. So like it's. They all have their own little ways, but I do feel like they all kind of speak to the way how they kind of like to present their games. Speaking of now, like saying that Sony does theirs in a way that makes me remind me of like those previews for like those infomercials at the movie theater makes sense now since they like to do a lot of cinematic games.
Mm-hmm.
So now that makes a lot more sense. I feel like this developer thing is a really cool really cool idea. I'll probably say not to expect too much unless like you see a developer you really want to see them talk about something, right? Like say Square Enix because they came out of fucking nowhere. But at the same time, if you tell me that Square Enix is showing out something on Xbox, I'm right there, hoping it'll be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or something. That's never coming to Xbox.
I was actually wrong about Ubisoft. It's Ubisoft Forward. Ubisoft Connect is the thing on their web.
That's kind of worse.
I mean, yeah, they probably were like Ubisoft Connect. Oh yeah, that's gonna be our you know where you buy your games on PC instead of Steam and stuff. It's like, what do we use for our announcements and stuff? Crap. You know what? Forward, as when we're going looking forward into the future. Yeah.
So lame. God. But I guess this is a good place to end it. If you guys enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I think it's Centurions. Most of them on Instagram. I'm going to get on that. And Yeah, we have a link to all fucking sister official part of Lego Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Pandora, all the like, and a link to the YouTube for your audio listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice. And we do have a Patreon for any form of support. And yeah, that's been our thoughts on the Xbox Direct for this year. We'll definitely try to talk about the Sony one if it's timed well for us.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, again, you know, they just sort of drop, sometimes they kind of drop these out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I will say, at least when it comes to the video games and copying Nintendo Directs, they all try their best to make different names besides
Direct.
You know, besides Direct. Yeah. Unlike all these subscription services that just go with
off.
Plus. I mean, ever since Disney Plus started it, you got, you know, everything's a plus now, you know.
We're not going down that road.
It's kind of, you know,
it's really dumb.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
And it's going to be me, boy, Eli.
Be me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.